Well, hello there and welcome. My name is Priscilla, and I just want to invite you to pull up a chair, get relaxed and comfortable, grab a cup of your favorite, you know, whatever you like to have, latte, coffee, and just kind of snuggle up with us for a conversation. This is going to be an important one today. You know, we try to bring you interviews with people who have interesting stories to tell, things that will educate you, inspire you, inform you. I think this one will be very challenging to you and informative as well about a topic that really is at the top of everybody's minds. It's at the forefront of our minds culturally and for many of us personally as well in our families. Certainly politically, it is the issue of abortion. We're going to tackle it from a different perspective though here for part one of the program. We're going to be talking to a woman who really should not be sitting on the couch with me today in this interview because she was a baby whose mother tried to abort her, but it didn't quite turn out the way mom planned. And so she's here to talk with us today. You're going to want to stay tuned because you're not going to want to miss this. Welcome to the chat with Priscilla. I'm Priscilla, and I'm so glad that you're here and that you're joining me. This is part two, okay, of a conversation we've already been having. You have got to see part one because we've been talking with a young woman who has a very unique story, actually. She survived an abortion, and so she's told us all about her story and how the Lord has woven a tapestry of events that have just been nothing short of miraculous. We're going to talk more to her, but we're also going to talk to a woman today who's going to just kind of invite us into her experience, which is the flip side of the coin. She is a woman who has seen the grace and forgiveness and mercy of God as she's traveled through the experience of having abortions. And I'm just going to talk to us a little bit about what that is like for a woman like her and how there's even redemption in those stories. We're going to talk to her about her life as well. So I'm so glad that you're here. Would you please help me to welcome Tracy Johnson to our show today? Hi, Tracy. Come on in. I'm so glad that you're here. Glad that you're here. Have a seat. Relax. We are so glad that you're joining us and glad that you're adding to this story because Melissa's already been telling us from her vantage point, and now we've got you here to sort of fill us in on your story and tell us the events that took place and what brought you here.
Well, I can go way back. It started.
Go way back. We got time.
It started as a 18-year-old just out of high school and met a guy, fell in love.
That's the way it always starts.
I know.
I met a guy.
I know. unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
The relationship became sexual. From there, you know, I did have a daughter. I had a daughter at 19.
Okay. Okay.
From there were multiple abortions.
Mm-hmm.
I've just felt myself just dwindling in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Just I felt like I didn't have meaning. I didn't understand why. I didn't understand.
What were
why.
The age ranges that you were between 19 and what age when you were having the abortions, and how many abortions did you have?
It was four abortions, and it was. And these are things that I don't even. I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't even thought about, like trying to calculate, mm-hmm. but I can say. It hurts. That part hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I can say from probably 20 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
So it was.
In a short period of
time.
It
was a short period of time.
So it almost sounds like, because here's my question, and these mm-hmm. are kind of tough questions. I hope you don't mind. I'm kind of mm-hmm. nosy, Tracy. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay.
So here's the thing. I'm wondering why would your choice be abortion, which is costly. Mm-hmm. It is costly not only financially, but emotionally. It's hard mm-hmm. on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Why that? And of course, it's the loss of life more
right.
than all.
Mm-hmm.
But why would that be your choice as opposed to if you're going to be in a sexual relationship, just choosing birth control?
Mm-hmm.
So why not decide, okay, I'm just going to try to keep this from ever happening so that I don't have to walk down this road?
Wasn't thinking about that.
You just know, nothing logical
reckless,
about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to sum it up, selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of what I was doing. You know, you hear people telling you it's a blob of tissue. I wanted to believe that. But there was something inside of me saying no.
Was there any family around you that knew any of this was happening during this season of your life?
No. No family actually knew about it. I suspected my mom after maybe the third, she saw some pills, because after you've had an abortion, they give you a certain pill to take, and it's antibiotic, and she saw that, she saw the pill case, and she's a nurse, so I think she figured it out, and she said to me, you know, you need to rest, but we never talked about it.
So you think she has, that she had an inkling back then?
Yes.
Did you ever talk about it with your mom later?
Later, maybe about, I am 47 years old, and maybe about 4 years ago, I actually told her that I did have multiple abortions, and we just sat and we cried.
You know, I'm interested to know, when you hear Melissa's story, you hear about this life that was saved. Back then, you say that deep down you knew that it was life, and yet for some reason you still made that decision. Why do you think that young women, women in general in our day and age, are making that, are feeling like it's their choice, even though deep down I believe a lot of people know it's life. They know it, and still they're making that choice. What's the dichotomy there? Why do you think that is? Is there just a hardness of heart? Do you think it's selfishness? Is that the end result? Why do you think?
For me personally, I can just say that I know it was selfishness. I only thought of myself. I didn't even think about, okay, the part about, okay, this is my baby. I'm its mother. That never even came into my mind.
You just wanted to be free to live your life.
Right. I had a daughter. I already had a daughter. And it was, you know, just thinking. It was, I didn't want people to see me as that person, that stereotype of having so many babies. And I had the pressure of that and the pressure of, you know, what people might think of me. And that led me to just feel as though, okay, this is the best thing for me, but not thinking the best thing for my baby.
Was there ever one of those four times? You know, I kind of want to ask you this, because this is taking you far, far back in your memory.
Yes.
But a lot of women, they have no frame of reference of what the procedure would be like. What does it feel like to sit there waiting for your turn to go back? And then just what that scenario feels like to you in your heart, physically as well. But what does that whole experience do to you as a woman?
I can remember my last abortion. I remember I drove by myself. My other abortions I actually had local anesthesia, where I went to sleep. And so when I woke up, I didn't remember anything. This particular time, since I went by myself, they had to do, I could not be put to sleep.
Got it.
When I got to the clinic, I remember this lady.
Did you realize that before you went by yourself? This is going to be different this time.
I realized it, but I said there's maybe that 1% chance that they'll let me do it. Go under local anesthesia.
Okay.
I went. There was a lady who met me at the car. There were picketers out. And she jumped in a car. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a nice lady, you know? And she started screaming at the picketers. She said, who's going to help her with this baby? Are you going to raise it?
Really?
Yes. And I can remember feeling, okay, all right, I can just calm down now.
So it's a random, this is a stranger. A woman jumps in your car that's basically angry that the picketers are there.
Yes.
And she's saying, this is her choice.
Yes.
Y'all leave her alone and let her go inside and do. And you felt what by this stranger in your car?
Somebody's on my side.
Somebody's on your side. Do you think that if it had been the opposite, someone else on the other side of the issue mm-hmm. hopping in and looking at you in your face and saying, you don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is another alternative. Let's go talk about those. Would you have been as receptive to that?
I've had it where I went to counseling before, and they sat me in front of a television to look at videos, mm-hmm. not talking to a person. So I didn't take it seriously.
So the video of the abortion, I know what you're talking about, where they have to show you what's going to happen to you before. That right. video was not as effective
no,
it was as not. A human being looking you right. in your eyes and saying,
mm-hmm. I needed somebody to talk to me. I needed someone to explain to me what I was doing, to get into my, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, I was thinking
yeah.
at the time.
To
I
get needed in your that heart, to, be, to yes. get connected to you. Mm-hmm. So you think if you would have had somebody in your life that would have done that, a college counselor, a friend, a mom, an aunt, a cousin, mm-hmm. somebody to say, you don't have to do this. There are other alternatives.
Yes.
I will help point the way. Do you think you would have been receptive to that?
I would have been receptive to it. Because I was, at that time, I was young. Mm-hmm. I was, like I keep saying, you know, just selfish in my behavior. I needed someone to stick it to me good, what it is that I was doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that would have been the only way.
Yep.
The only way.
I have a friend who, in college, she had a similar experience. And she describes it as very much like you're saying, where you're just sort of selfish. Mm-hmm. You know how all of us probably were at some season or another in your life, where you're really just thinking about yourself. And you want to do whatever you can to just clear the path for yourself. And she's describing very much like what you've said, where she just was doing it because it just kept her from being, you know, invaded with this interruption of a baby.
Yes.
But she said she ran across a nurse. Actually, it was a school nurse. Mm-hmm. She went into, and I think she was taking a pregnancy test. Mm. And I think her attitude, I guess, was so nonchalant about the fact that she was just going to go have an abortion
yeah.
that the nurse lit into her.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse just went off on her. Basically, yes. like you said, you needed somebody to stick it to you.
Mm-hmm.
She said this nurse, who she didn't even know, stuck it to her and mm-hmm. said, do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize mm-hmm. that not only is this, you're tampering with the life of a baby, but you're tampering with your own life. Yes. It's your own future at stake. Mm-hmm. It's your own existence, your own health, mm-hmm. not only physically, but emotionally and otherwise. And she said it was like a wake-up call, just having someone
yes.
wave a flag mm-hmm. in front of her face, not sit her down in front of a video.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the wake-up call I needed. That's, you know, I look at, I actually talk with a lot of young girls about abortion and you know, their choices, because life is about choices.
It is.
I made a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I made a choice that was a wrong decision,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I talk to them about choices and to the choice that, you know, about choosing life.
Well, I'm going to talk about with you when we come back from this break, just the effects that had on you going forward, mm-hmm. why it stopped too. I want to know why the fourth one was the last one,
mm-hmm.
What happened to kind of change that course and that pattern in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then how you've found grace and mercy through that, how you've been able to pass it on. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Hi, I'm Priscilla, and I wanted to take an opportunity to invite you personally to join me for a 7-session Bible study on the armor of God. We'll dive deeply into what it means to be equipped to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. He is very real, and he has been so strategic and targeted in his attacks against us. Why shouldn't we be equally strategic and targeted in standing firm against him? And you and I have an opportunity to suit up, to put on some armor that works, and to go to battle and to see victory declared in our lives and in the lives of those people that we love. This Bible study will be one that will change our lives forever and will help us to walk in victory. So plan to join me, won't you? The armor of God. Welcome back. Glad you're still joining us. We've been having an interesting conversation with Ms. Tracy, who's been helping us to understand the reasons why you had an abortion. We heard from Melissa about what it's like to be a survivor of abortion. And now from your vantage point, the reasons why a woman would do it, but also what it's like to have an abortion. So we kind of met you right at the entrance. Someone jumped in your car, made you feel powerful and strong about the choice that you were making going forward. And had that been a person from another angle with a different viewpoint, you probably would have listened to them too. So here you go. You drive, it's shaking you, saying, wake up, girl. You walk into the abortion clinic. Walk us through what it's like to have an abortion.
You, just like you're in a doctor's office, you sign in, you know, you wait your turn. You might have women that are there that have on wigs that are in disguise or, you know, just didn't, you know, want to be recognized. When it was my turn, you do go into counseling. The counseling is, do you want to have an abortion? Are you sure? And that was, I'm going to be honest, that's pretty much the extent of what I received during that time. When I went in, this was the fourth, this was the last and final abortion that I can remember. When I was put on the table, I can remember the ultrasound machine. And I didn't recognize until later that they were looking at my baby. And then there was the sounds. There was the sounds of like a lawnmower that they turned on, like a generator almost, like it turned on. And that's when the procedure started. You know, they did have something to calm me, but nothing could have calmed me.
Was it painful?
You feel your baby being ripped out of you. That's what I felt. A piece of me was being taken out. Of my body. And something that I chose to do.
Do you think if you had been asleep during that one, like you were for the other three, that you would feel this sense of sadness and loss? Or do you think that it was because you were awake that you got the fullness of what this was, what was really happening here?
I think that was my turning point. That was my turning point to know that, Tracy, look what you're doing. You know, they're looking at your baby, and there's someone looking at it being ripped out of you.
Just kind of sucked out.
Yes. There's someone counting the parts to make sure that each piece is being taken out. I had to digest all of that. Before, I couldn't see that. I couldn't feel that.
Right.
I didn't know that. You know, it's funny even to even hear myself say I didn't know that. But in reality, I didn't wake up until they made me stay awake.
Yeah. And sometimes you just need somebody to wake you up so that you get the fullness of what is really happening and what it means to you. And what did the next years and months and years look like in your life, emotionally and otherwise? How were you able to sort of move forward and keep it together and receive God's grace and forgiveness about all this?
Well, it was a hard road. I didn't understand why I felt the way I did. There was a feeling of missing. I missed something. I didn't understand what that something was, but it was my motherly instinct kicking in on what I was missing. I didn't. There was a time when all I wanted to do was other things. I wanted to just stay busy. I just needed to stay busy.
Because you're 22, 23 now.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And the relationship, in the relationship that I was in, we had broken up. Mm-hmm. And I can remember praying to God, you know, Lord, please just help me. Please just help me. And I didn't believe that I was worthy in any sense of his help at all.
Of the help of the Lord in your life.
I didn't feel that.
And so what did it look like for you to get back to a place of healthy relationship between you and God? So you're saying you felt guilt about what you
yes.
had done.
Yes.
So there was distance in your, I think that's that's true for so many women.
Right.
For any number of different things. You know, women and men, where we choose sin or rebellion or something that we know is not right, we choose it, and then it creates this distance between us and God. How do you get over that hump?
Mm-hmm. It was only through the grace of God that got me through, because it was just too much.
But did you have an older woman maybe that came into your life that you were able to, or friend that you were able to tell this to help you to sort of get out of the rut?
One of the things that happened to me when I just felt this longing to help, I felt this longing to go into a ministry that wanted to help post-abortive women and women who are thinking of contemplating abortion. So I went to my pastor and I asked him, I said, do you know any places that I can go or just to counsel? And he said, yeah. He said, Pat Layton is a member of our church. And I was like, oh.
Pat
and
Layton.
I just wanted to kick him, you know, like, oh, you have an answer for me.
Yeah.
So I went there and they said to me, one of the questions that was on the application is, the volunteer application is, have you had an abortion? They looked at it. I was like, okay. They don't want me to volunteer. I checked the yes button, and they told me that I had to go through counseling in order to volunteer. I contemplated not volunteering, but I did it. I went through counseling, and there's actually a class called Surrendering the Secret that takes you through the grief. You know, post-abortive women don't get an opportunity to grieve. This is a conversation that you just can't walk up to a person that you don't know, even a friend, even a family member, and say, you know what? I've had an abortion, or it's not an easy topic.
Right. Thus the name Surrendering the Secret, because it is a choice to have to surrender that part of your life, open it up. Mm-hmm. But healing starts there, don't you think?
Yes, yes.
So this class, Surrendering the Secret, it's something that we need to put a link to so that you can have access to that, because it is something that brought healing to you.
Yes.
And that I think has brought healing to thousands and thousands of women who are in this position right now and just need to walk through that. So now you're married.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
We've been married for about 23 years.
23 years.
23
and your
years.
Children?
We have three children. You know, we have a daughter.
Yes.
And then we have two boys.
Mm-hmm. And what do you tell your daughter?
You know what I did
tell
her?
Who is how old now?
She is 27.
Okay.
She's 27 years old.
Okay.
And I've actually, all my kids, I've told them. I've told them about the abortions, and they still love me.
Yeah.
When it was hard, telling them it was hard, especially for my daughter, because she said to me, I've always wanted to have a sister. And to look back, that was something that I took away from her.
Mm-hmm. What about your husband? Did you tell him about that early on, or is that something he didn't know until later?
He didn't know that until later. Mm-hmm. I actually told him one night while we were in the bed, I put the pillow over my head, and he listened to the muffled sounds of me telling him about my abortion, but he understood. Mm-hmm.
And his reaction?
And his reaction was, I love you. Mm-hmm. Don't ever think that my love goes away.
Yeah. I think there is, if there's one main message to come out of this conversation, I really think that it is, there is more grace and love and forgiveness than I think any of us think there is when we have walked any path that is wrong. In this case,
yes.
Abortion, I think that when we open ourselves up, there's love there waiting to be given
yes.
to us, waiting to be given to us.
Yes.
And so if there is a woman, I want to hear from both of you.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a woman that's, I mean, she's on the cusp right now of mm-hmm. making this choice. And honestly, mm-hmm. she is leaning toward abortion because it's, to her, seems easier, simpler,
mm-hmm.
cleaner. Get out of it, you know, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But you said that if someone had just said to you what you needed to hear in that moment to help you to not make that choice, it could have really made a difference.
Yes.
And I just wonder if both of you would speak to, mm-hmm. just speak to that woman. What would you say to her?
I would say to her that God loves you. You know, one of the things that I had a problem with was my identity,
mm-hmm.
my self-identity, is knowing who I was in Christ, who I am in Christ. I found that. One of the hardest things about abortion is forgiving yourself. You know, we know deep down that God, He forgives us. Forgiving ourselves is one of the hardest things. And for you, you know, go to a class. Go to, you know, just like what Priscilla said, go to the link. You know, go to Surrender in the Secret. And, you know, find healing. It's a healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back. You're going to have to go back in order to be healed,
mm-hmm.
in order to just learn how to just love again, in order to just look at life differently.
Yeah.
Just choose life for yourself also.
Thank you. Well, and Melissa, what would you say to someone who's considering that option?
For somebody who's considering abortion right now, I would say no matter what you're going through, abortion is not the solution mm-hmm. to what you're facing. You know, an abortion is going to end a life, and it's going to change your life forever.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel alone, if you feel unsupported, if you feel like you don't have the resources to support yourself and a child, there are so many pregnancy centers waiting to assist you. There are churches, so many different ministries that exist to support someone. So I just want people to know that it is not the solution, and there is always support waiting for them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both so much. There is a picture of life, of grace, of forgiveness, of God's miracles poured out over us in both scenarios. And you've both given us insight and face and voice to that. And we're very, very grateful. Will you guys please help me to thank them for being on our program today?